We're going to talk about love and respect. Last night I talked about broken relationships and reconciliation. And as I have pastored almost 40 years, and as I have had opportunity to do marriage counseling and other kinds of things, one of the things that I have learned is understanding that all relationships are broken, but all relationships can be restored, is a key to helping people start to mend. Another thing that I have learned, especially in the counseling side, is this unique thing. We're different, right? And God acknowledges that we are different. Ephesians, the fifth chapter, is often called the marriage chapter. It talks about marriage. It talks about Christ and his church, and uses the illustration of marriage, which is kind of fascinating, right, to try to get us to understand Christ's relationship with his church, because I don't know of any perfect marriage. So we have this imperfect relationship that God uses to give us this illustration of how great the relationship of the church with Christ can be, and yet I don't know of any perfect church either. So maybe there is something there that you know. But it's interesting how that we can see the marriage can illustrate Christ and his relationship with the church. We can also see how Christ and his relationship to the church and church's relationship with Christ also gives us an example of what marriage should be like. And he says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, right? So the example of Christ and his church is like marriage. It also works the other way. Marriage is like this incredible relationship, this incredible sacrifice that Christ did, this incredible thing that church does. The church is a body without a head. No. We have a head, right? But none of us. I'm not the head of the church. I'm the pastor. All I do, the only thing I'm supposed to do is to help you see what the head wants us as a body to do. And we as a church, we aren't supposed to figure out what we're to do and have original thoughts. We're supposed to do what Christ wants us to do. And so marriage is this incredible relationship between a husband and wife, and we're different. We bring different parts. We complete. Brother Tom talked about how they completed each other, bring different strengths. And so this verse, the Ephesians 5th chapter, is super important, but I just want to focus on this one verse. Nevertheless, that's an interesting word, right? So with everything I said, nevertheless, with everything I said, I can sum it up, he says. Here is two key components that are kind of important, really important. If we can summarize everything he said in Ephesians 5th chapter, here's the principle. Let every one of you in particular so love his wife. And so we got this his and her thing. We understand how God intended marriage, his and hers. And let him in particular. So it's interesting. he didn't say, let husbands so love wives. I have a particular wife that I'm to love, right? I can't go love any wife, right? That would be a problem. And so, in particular, did I understate that it would be a problem? Okay. So, in particular, this is what the role, the job, the husbands, if you want this marriage to work, in particular, nevertheless, all the things I've said before in marriage in the fifth chapter, I can sum it up right here. Love your wife. Okay. And wives, love your husbands. It doesn't say that. And don't miss that point. And it's in italics. So the word there, and I hope I took a little bit of, not license with the Word of God, but the word is reverence, right? But it means respect. And sometimes we talk reverence as like, what does that mean? We know what respect means, right? And so the wife see that she respect her husband's. We have different jobs to fulfill. So you know what's fascinating is when you work, I used to be an engineer, worked as a mechanical engineer, and I would design things, and then we would send them out to the shop to have them built on the manufacturing floor. And they would come in and they'd ask questions, and sometimes I'd get frustrated and I'd end up out on the manufacturing floor assembling what I built. And oh, they hated it. And they would look at me and say, you're an engineer, you don't know how to build stuff. And in some ways they were right, because I didn't have the tools. I had to go borrow their tools, and then, you know, some of the tools are specialty tools. So I was going to build this thing that I designed, and they're like, you don't even know how to run the tool? That's a problem, right? And so everyone has a job. And so it worked better if I would let them do their job and I would do my job. Well, one of the things that's interesting is God has given male and females different jobs to make us complete. Tom talked about how that we're a unit and how things fit together. I mean, I'm sometimes then bring two parts in and say, these don't fit. I get it. Okay, it doesn't fit. One of my biggest mistakes, I made 100 parts. It was a bottom of a box, and it was to be 2 feet by 2 feet. And I was using a new CAD system, and it ended up getting shrunk the wrong way, and auto dimensioning was on. And I ended up with plates that was 8 inches by 8 inches. And they said, it don't fit. And I'm like, you're right. And I said, how many did we make? 100. Oops, my bad, right? We're human. But God made us. God is a designer that doesn't make mistakes. That's the point that I want to make here. And sometimes we fight against this, my job to love, your job to respect, and I'm going to explain what that means. So you're like, what do you mean? Now, I'm not saying that wives are not to love their husbands, but there's a unique and interesting thing, this agape love, this sacrificial love. Nowhere in the Word of God does it say, wife, agape love your husband. Now, it says everyone is to love one another. Joyce is to love me. And I'm going to talk about this a little bit later, but women don't usually have a problem with love. It comes natural, right? But we as men, this love thing doesn't come quite as easy. This husband and wife were going to counseling, and the husband was having a hard time expressing how he loved his wife, and she was getting just a little frustrated with it, and because she was like, just express how you feel. And he was struggling. And so they were coming home from counseling, they were pulling into the driveway, and just as they pulled in, the neighbor drives up. He gets out of his car, goes to the back seat, he pulls out some flowers and a box of candy, and they're just sitting there watching him. And he walks up to the door, and as he gets to the door, the wife opens the door, and they can both see the husband mouth the words, I love you. I love you. And the wife is like, that's what I want. And she just turns to the husband. She says, that's what you need to do. And he gets this really weird look on his face that says, I hardly know the woman. Well, sometimes we struggle with this men, this love thing, right? And here's the thing, respect. Ladies are to respect. Ladies have a natural ability, most, right? Anytime you say always, you're going to get in trouble. I remember growing up a story that I was really, really young, and it defied logic for me. I had good parents that loved me, that took care of me, and there was this mom who took her son out, and he was like 5 years old, and in California where we grew up, there's these two-lane roads everywhere, and along these two-lane roads everywhere is barbed wire fence on both sides, almost everywhere you go. And she took her son out and stood him at the barbed wire fence and told him not to let go and drove off. Now, that's a mother that somehow got short-circuited with the love thing, right? That's not how motherhood works, okay? And as a little child hearing that story, I couldn't fathom, I still can't fathom how a mother, right? How a father, right? But sometimes these things that can be natural for us, and we talk about these differences, sometimes something happens, right? So most women have this natural ability to love and to express love and to feel love deeply. And men, we have, not that we don't love, because we can and we should and we do, but respect comes kind of natural. Let me give you an illustration. Growing up, my dad liked boxing, and there was a young boxer called Cassius Clay, and he was a really good boxer, and my dad really liked him as a boxer. And then he decided that he was not going to honor the draft for the U.S. military, and he ended up being convicted and spent a little bit of time in jail. You may know him as Muhammad Ali. And after he got out of jail, he continued to box. And he was an incredible boxer. I loved the Thriller in Manila. A lot of you are like, what is he talking about, right? Rope-a-dope. I learned to enjoy that through the eyes of my father. My dad did not like Muhammad Ali, but oh, he respected him. Does that make sense? And sports, I have said, growing up, I would never root for Dallas Cowboys. I hated the Dallas Cowboys. Tom Landry, ugh. Can't even talk about him. And then I modified that. I might root for them if they ever played the Russians. Now, that doesn't have the same context anymore. Russians used to be, right? The Cold War, that's when I grew up. But I respected. When I watched them play, I had great respect for who they were and what they accomplished. Does that make any sense for you? We as men have this capacity, even if we don't like something, in an accomplishment, we men are often driven, not always, right, but often driven by accomplishments. And we can, even if we don't like it, we can often really appreciate the accomplishments. Women have this natural ability to love, and not that you don't like accomplishments, but it seems like it's not the same thing. The love comes easier than the respect. Does that? I hope that makes a little bit of sense, and we'll talk about it a little bit more. So here's the thing. God says, look, husbands, your job, love. Wives, your job, respect. If you can learn to master these two things, I respect the heck out of my wife. Her accomplishments, what she does. Brother Tom and I decide we're going to do this project. Folks, you have a book in your hand, not because Tom did any much, and not because I did anything to make this happen. Joyce made this happen, okay? Now, there are wives and mother things that my wife does I respect, but just to give you an idea of how deeply I respect her, and she needs to hear that, but boy, one of the things she really needs to know is I love her. Does that make sense? And so this thing, we're different. Our jobs are different. Doesn't mean that Joyce should not and does not love me, because I know she does. But if she's going to love me, what I really need is respect, admiration, and I'll explain that, and vice versa. She wants my respect, but she has this deep need to know that I love her, that I will take care of her, that I will sacrifice for her and our family. Does that make sense? I hope so. Okay, here we go. Strap in. We're different. The world today goes to great lengths to try to make us the same. Now, there are some things in these differences that are wrong. Women not getting equal pay for a job that a man does is wrong, right? So I'm not talking about those kinds of things. But we're just different. And it's fascinating. The world says, why are men and women different? It isn't just upbringing. New studies show they're born that way. Huh, imagine that. Well, when you do an ultrasound and they say, do you want to know the sex? It's not because they study the DNA. It's because they see something physically different. Adam and Eve were different. I don't know if this will make any sense. It took different amount of leaves to cover them. Does that make sense? Okay. Maybe it doesn't. We're different. We're different. Viva la difference, right? Appreciate. If God would have brought the same thing to Adam, I don't think he'd have said, wow. You get the point? I think he appreciated the difference. So God created them different. That's what that verse says. We are different, male and female. Tom talked about physically strength and that kind of thing differently. Those are the obvious, right? Women, the skin is different. We're different. Yeah. What's the illustration? Anybody know?
A woman's brain.
Not, yes, yes. Not that it's just a bowl of spaghetti. That's not what I'm trying. Ooh, that didn't work so good. I might want to change that. Ooh, that didn't work. Okay. When you have spaghetti, everything is interwound, right? The mind of a woman, things are all interconnected. Joyce and I, when we talk, I mean, we can be talking about Bible conference stuff. And then she'll go talking about Wyatt, and then she'll talk about work, and it's like, wait, one subject at a time. And she'll make a statement without saying Wyatt, and we're talking about work, and your boss did what? No, Wyatt did that. Now, she has it all clear. If she was talking to another woman, the conversation would have made sense. Okay? But to me, my mind is like a waffle when you pour syrup on. There's these boxes. And things naturally get caught. And the syrup doesn't just jump from one little waffle hole to the other waffle hole. And so she needs to say, I'm done with talking about work. Now I'm going to talk about Wyatt. But that's not how a woman wants the conversation to go. And so I get confused, right? And it's not that we as men aren't intelligent, because women are intelligent, men are intelligent, Joyce is smart. Okay, maybe I'm not so smart. But here's the thing. It's not an intelligent issue. It's a we're different issue. And when I talk about something, I can talk about all kinds of details and stay in this one box for an hour. And she's like, let's move on to another box. Right? Does that sound familiar? And I'm like, wait, there's more details in this box. And she's like, there can't be. One of the illustrations I like is men put things in compartments. And we can literally put things in a compartment. The problem with the waffle illustration is it doesn't have a lid. Men can put things in a box and close the lid and set it aside, and we don't have to revisit it. Now, you may know somebody that's not like that. There's exceptions to all rules. Brother Tom was talking about emotions, and women tend to be, you know, this that we're different. Here's the thing. I know a couple where he is very emotional, cries all the time, and she's not. That's not so much a physical difference. That's not even so much a mental difference for them. And I don't have time to do it here. I hope for our church. We did this years ago. There's a personality difference, too, that has nothing to do with men and women differences. Joyce and I are quite different. She's the terms that were used in the personality tests that I tend to share with people is a melancholy, which means feels deeply. And in our church, nobody cries alone because we have Joyce. We have other... Now, we have other melancholies, right, that feel deeply. The other thing about melancholies is there is a right way to do it. Not a my way, okay, but a right way. Now, I hear that as it's really your way, but I have to understand that that's not really what she's saying. She can have a her way, and if I can convince her it's the right way, she will change her mind because the right is important. Now, I'm kind of a combination, a phlegmatic. That's kind of my natural. And phlegmatics don't like conflict, right? We have feelings. Everyone has feelings, right? So talking about emotions, anger is an emotion, guys. So sometimes we don't do the crying. We do the anger, the upset about stuff. So they're both emotions. So a phlegmatic don't like emotions. I don't like them. I have them, but I try to bury them. One of the best... and one of the... Talk about this. How you complete... Talk about this aspect. Joyce helps me get in tune with my feelings. I've shared this with the church. We have people who are melancholies. We have people worship and that kind of stuff. And when you experience that deep feeling and connection with God that a melancholy feels, see, I don't do that naturally. But when you experience, I experience it because of you. I don't know if that makes sense, but you help me worship God. I don't know if that makes sense. The other thing in dealing with a phlegmatic is oftentimes when they want to do something, they want to do it the easy way. So sometimes they'll take shortcuts. Now, somebody who doesn't want to deal with difficulties and wants to do it the easy way doesn't always accomplish a lot in life. So oftentimes melancholies have a different personality. I'm also a choleric, and that's more of a learned kind of thing. And what a choleric is they are a go-getter. They are natural leaders. If there's a job to do, they're going to do it. Whereas a phlegmatic wants to do it the easy way. A melancholy wants to do it the right way. A choleric wants to do it my way. And so at work, right, when I was working, it's like I designed it my way, and they're like, it's not right. It's like, I don't care, it's my way. It is right. My way is the right way. So you can see how that can cause, right? And so we're different personalities, emotions, And personalities can cross male, female, all those kinds of things, boxes. So men, these compartments. Women have a box, everything, like the spaghetti, it's all connected. Yeah, and a man's box, just put some strapping tape. Just woman's box, it's going to be tidy and neat, pink bow. Maybe you don't like pink, maybe it's purple. Our minds are different. That's the point I'm trying to make. Anybody know what the illustration is?
Cook it fast, cook it slow.
Yep, cook it fast, cook it slow. Men's physical response tends to be a little bit faster. We're going to talk about intimacy. We're all adults, right? Sex, how things work. Men are a microwave. We can a little bit quicker, right? Women, we're different, and yet here's the thing. God says this is how you're going to work together. You have to appreciate, take a little more time, and you got to appreciate that it can happen a little quicker, right? And so we're different. That's the point. Lots of ways, all kinds of ways. Peter says to husbands, but I think wives need this too, dwell with them according to knowledge. A little bit of knowledge can help. Understanding what my wife needs, that was a big aha moment in our relationship. Primary need. Women need love. The only person who can love my wife the way that God has built her to be loved is her husband. Some other guy loving my wife in this, fulfilling this need, isn't going to be acceptable. Same way, husbands, I need this respect. This is primary need. This is built in. And someone else cannot. We talk about, you ever heard the term emotional affair?
Yeah.
Okay. This is where we get that. This primary need that a wife needs, a husband doesn't do, and some other man does, and makes that connection with some other man and not her husband. Women can still be married, but getting this need of love, and you know, we talk about sexual affairs. These can sometimes be a lot harder on a marriage, and no affair is ever good. I'm not trying to, no. Don't misunderstand me. That's not what I'm saying. But boy, these emotional connections, when a wife gets that need met, wow, there's a connection. When a husband gets this need met, these are primary. So I want to talk about 10 basic needs. There are five that tend to be for men and five that tend to be for women, but I want you to understand that this is not, they're not physiological and that they're built in. So let me just give you an example. Women need respect too, men need love too. But these are the primary thing. And it is the husband's responsibility to meet this need. Now, as I go through here, at the bottom it says rank these needs. So what I want you to do is, there's 10, and you'll go 1 through 10, which is your highest priority. And I'm going to explain them, so you may want to wait before you start writing. And then on this side, I want you to rate how it is being met. So for me, let's say I was to say that love is my number 2. And I would rank that as a 6. Joyce does a great job showing me. Did I say love? I meant, let's say I say respect is number 2. That's the one I wanted to start with. And she does a great job in demonstrating and letting me know how important I am in her life, and that she respects me in lots of different areas. So I would rank that as a 6. So you can have 1 through 10. Let's say you're 10. If it's 10 on your list, it's the last thing. It's probably not that important. So it really doesn't matter if it's being met. Here's the thing that I need to explain to you about this list. 1 through 3, you need to focus on those and get those right. Because what's going to happen is your mate, he or she is going to look at this list, and maybe they were starting to work on something, and this happens all the time. Joyce will say, I feel like you're not meeting my need. And oftentimes my feeling is, hey, I have worked really hard at this relationship. I did, and I often have a list. Yeah. Yeah, I bet you do too. I did this, I did that, I did this, I did that. And here's the thing that I have learned, and we have learned from this list. That's great, but that's number 10. I need you to focus. And so one of the things that this list has helped us in our relationship is I would extend all this energy. She would extend all this energy. And we were unfulfilled because we were doing things that the other person didn't need. I was doing what I wanted her to have. Does that make sense? Oftentimes, I'll give her what I need. She'll give me what she needs, and neither one of our needs are getting met. So what I need to understand is what she needs so I can meet it, and she can focus on my need. Does that make sense? Love and respect. As Christ gave himself, sacrificed himself for the church, did we need a sacrifice? Was that an appropriate thing? Oh, we needed. Yeah. So I hope that makes sense. So 1 through 3, 1 through 5. The last 5, don't spend a lot of time, just put it in order. Does that make sense? Because really, if you can get your 1 through 3 met, you won't care about 6 through 10. Now, here's the other thing. As life goes on, what used to be a need, because our life is different. Empty nest. One of the things that is on here, domestic support, I used to work 2 jobs. I pastored. Pastoring for me is not a job. It's a calling. I don't have a choice. I change jobs. Until God is done with me, I can't change the pastoring part. Does that make sense? So it's not really a job. But I did 2 things. And one of the things that I needed, in order to spend time with my wife, and in order to spend time with my children, I couldn't have to do a lot of stuff at home. I would come home and the grass was mowed. Oftentimes, if it was a minor repair, Joyce would do it. If something needed to be fixed and I couldn't do it, she'd make arrangements for it to be done. Now, that's all flipped. I don't need that anymore. She's working so that I can pastor. The church does wonderful in taking care of us. But insurance is the main reason why she works. And so it's flipped. Now, I mow the grass. But I wash the dishes. I used to do all the laundry except for her laundry. Well, as we have got older, our energy level changes. And now she comes home and she says, just do my laundry. Just get it done. And she told me, more fabric softener, please. We're different, right? But sometimes the needs can change. So let's talk about this. We all do need love. Husbands. Now here's the thing. We don't have time, and it's hard. When Tom and I were talking about doing this, what do we include and what don't we include? Another really important thing is called love language. And speaking the language that the other one speaks, showing, doing things that communicates love, right? Not just saying I love you, but things that communicate love. There's 5 different love languages, and we didn't have time to include all that. But just to give you an illustration, after we were married, Joyce wasn't feeling good, and so she went to bed to feel better. And after a few days, she came out and said she was feeling better. And then I ended up being sick, and she would come in and bring me soup and do all this stuff. And so one of the things that's interesting, the way she grew up, is that you'd put the person to bed, and then you would bring them, you'd take their temperature. You would bring them soup. You would bring them something to drink. You would always check on them. When I grew up, when you were sick, you went to your room and you stayed in isolation. If you needed something, you could ask somebody, but oftentimes you'd get it yourself unless you was too sick. So when Joyce was sick, and after she got better, she's like, "You don't love me." I'm like, "Wait, I do love you." She's like, "Yeah, but you didn't take care of me when I was sick." I'm like, "Because you don't want to be taken care of, right?" So when I was sick, she would, you know, "Here's some pills. Here," and it's like, "I'm sick. Leave me alone," right? I feel like you don't love me because you won't let me get better. Does that make sense? And so we were taking care of each other in different love languages. So now if I get sick, she leaves me alone, and I'll say I need this or I need that. And if I get up and get it myself, because in her mind, that person would take care. It used to like, "You're not letting me," right? No. She understands. It's not offensive to her now because she understands. Does that make sense at all? So we need to learn the person's love, respect. And I could spend so much time on all these, and we just don't have time. There is a internal need for men to excel, to be successful at least in one place in life. One of the things in counseling I've learned, oftentimes women love their husband, but they don't like their husbands. Men can go conquer the world if you respect them, appreciate them. Does that make any sense at all? It's we need someone to admire us. We'll go conquer the world for you, for our families, if the way you can love us is give us this admiration and this respect. I don't know if I'm explaining it, but it's very, very important. Conversation is so important. So some tools that I've learned. You ever play tennis? So you hit the ball, right? You hit the ball. You're supposed to catch it. This is... No. So when you play tennis, you hit it, and it comes back. That's the natural way you play tennis. But what happens if only one person is playing, and I hit the ball? I'll try not to hit you. Sorry, the first time I thought you were going to catch it. I'll try not to break a window. So what happens? Now how do I play tennis, right? That's called... What's the one you hit against the wall? Handball? So that's like playing tennis by yourself. So conversation is like tennis. I think Joyce may have been the one that shared this. I don't remember where I got it, but I think she said, you know, our conversation is like tennis balls. I feel like I hit these, lob these tennis balls over, and you never send them back. And this was years ago that we had this illustration. It was not more than a week ago. We were sitting at dinner. And I can get preoccupied when I have something going on, and I was thinking about the marriage conference. And she was talking, and I was nodding once in a while, keeping the conversation going. You know, that's my responsibility, nodding appropriately. And all of a sudden, she stops, and she looks at me. And I'm busy eating, and, you know, and she's just looking at me. And I finally look up and think, uh-oh. Uh-oh. And all she said, "I feel like I've lobbed a bunch of tennis balls your way." Okay, I got it. I checked into the conversation. It was, that illustration has been great. I know how to play tennis. I don't know how to carry on a conversation. So when she's talking, I'm playing tennis. Does that make sense? Sometimes she plays tennis by herself, and there's green little balls all over the place. Okay, conversation. Another thing we've learned, we're different. Women, okay. Some guys like to talk too, right? I have a friend. He wears me out. He talks. Talks. Details. Jocelyn, growing up, liked to talk. And I had a phrase I would listen, and there would come a point when I would just have to say, Jocelyn, Reader's Digest version, right? So here's the thing. Joyce would talk, and at the time I was working, it is said, I can't remember the exact number, women, I think the number is 10,000 and 1,000. Women have a need, I can't remember the exact number, let's just say, for example, women have a need to express 10,000 words a day. Men have a need to express 1,000 words a day. You see the problem? I'm done before she's done. And we would have these conversations, and I'm like squirming in my seat. When can I be dismissed? Will it ever end? That's not a good way. She can read body language. Women are good at it. I'm communicating without saying a word. So one of the things that we have learned, we started by scheduling. I know that sounds terrible. 5 minutes. And we, after we got done talking about our day, we would schedule 5 minutes. And it would be intent conversation, and I know that after that, and then we got it up to 10 minutes. And here's the thing, if I know there's an end time, it felt different. Does that make sense, guys and ladies? I know, exactly. But here's the thing, I learned how to communicate. So now we can speak for hours because she allowed us this experience. Does that make sense? I know it's weird, but ladies, if you have a husband who's kind of quiet and you can't get anything out of him, honey, we're going to talk 5 minutes. At the end of that 5 minutes, we're done. Now, that doesn't mean, and you're going to start extending it, okay? It will look different. Admiration, it's a little different than respect. Admire you, but I have explained, I got a lot I got to do. Open and honesty. Oftentimes, this is a real important need for women, but men need this too, right? I mean, how can they trust us if we're not open, if we're not honest? And the issue often isn't lying. If you're lying, that's a problem, right? But oftentimes, the honesty part comes because you're not open. It feels like you're being deceptive. Does that make sense? Peace and tranquility. Oftentimes for men, but here's the thing, if you have raised children, boy, a little bit of peace would help, right? So this is not always a man-female thing, but quiet time can be good for all of our sanity, right? So if it's a need, how do we meet that need, right? Joyce would raise our kids, I would work, I need to decompress at the end of the day. I love to do things outside. I'd take the kids out and would play basketball. We've played a few hours of basketball right there in that parking lot, haven't we? And mom wasn't really into that. It wasn't because she didn't like basketball. It wasn't that she didn't like to spend time with us doing those things. That's when she got her peace and tranquility. I could meet a need for her and my children at the same time. Affection. Affection. Hand-holding, caressing, touching, sitting beside each other. Affection has nothing to do with sex. But sex without affection becomes just an act. Make sense? But they're not the same. We can do one without the other. But showing affection is a way of showing appreciation, a way of showing respect. Intimacy, intercourse, sex, oftentimes a higher degree for the men, but I've had couples who the libido of the wife is a lot different than the guy. Intimacy communicates. So one of the things about intimacy, men want intimacy in order to feel close most of the time. Women need to feel close in order to want intimacy. Does that make sense? We're made different. A little bit counterintuitive, but God made it that way for a reason. So we're just not doing the act without any communication, any affection, right? So women need to feel close. Thus, the man needs to work on that, right? Family commitment. I think I've explained that. Trust. Companionship. Sometimes a need for a man. You want your husband, and maybe the wife likes to do, you know, hiking, those kinds of things, to have their most enjoyable times with you doing those things. Does that make sense? I hope so. So here's the thing. Anybody have any questions on any of these? So you have enough information, you can do your 1 through 10. That is really, really important. Primary needs. These 10 basic needs come from our primary needs. So this primary need thing, husbands, love your wife. Wife, respect your husband. Crazy cycle. Without love, right? If we withhold, if we don't meet that need, she will react. She is not going to respect you without love. And he's going to react without respect. And so we get this crazy cycle. And then we include these other 8 needs besides the love and respect, and we're not meeting any needs. And we're just going around and around, and there's this battle. You don't love me. You don't respect me. And we do these withholds, and we can never, because our primary and our basic needs aren't getting met, the relationship looks and feels hopeless. This is crazy. I'm getting off the merry-go-round of this marriage because you can't give me what I need, and I won't give you what you need. Why are we doing this? This is crazy. But if we'll start meeting those needs, it looks different, right? That list can change your marriage, 1 through 3. Husbands, love your wives. You can win respectful behavior. Show respect to your husbands. It's not just Ephesians that it talks about that. So that creates this crazy cycle when we withhold. But what happens if he will love her? It will motivate. Somebody sometimes asks, well, you know, who starts? Well, the simple answer is husbands. Jesus died for us while we were yet his enemies. Husbands, you should start. But ladies, if you have a husband that can't, you start. Because remember the verse? You can win him by your respect. And you do. And I have counseled people like this, and they're like, you want me to do it without getting anything in return? See, things are supposed to be 50-50, right? So I will do what you need if you do. That's not how marriage works. Husbands, love your wives if she respects you. Wives, respect your husband if, did I get that right? If he loves you. No. Husbands, do it no matter what. It is your responsibility to love husbands, your wives. It is your responsibilities, wives. Only, ladies, only you can meet these needs of your husband. Men, only you can meet these needs of your wives. And if they get them met somewhere else, you're going to throw a fit. But if you're not meeting them, we have that need. Now, my going out and getting an emotional attachment to some other female isn't her fault. It's my choice, correct? But I don't even need to, if my needs are met, right? And the only one that can meet my needs, I can't ask any other wife in here to meet my needs. Only she can do it. And if some other woman meets my needs, you know what's attached to it? Conviction. Guilt. When my wife meets my needs, it's satisfying. And there's no guilt because that's the role that we play for. And as I meet her needs, it's satisfying. Does that make sense? His love motivates her respect, which motivates his love. You see the cycle? And here's the ultimate cycle. He loves her regardless of her respect, and she respects him regardless. And when I talk about love and respect, I'm also talking about fulfilling those other basic needs in your mate, right? That's how we respect. That's how wives respect their husbands. That's how husbands love their wives. Project. For Joyce and I, and for other people that I have worked with, what page is it? 23. This issue, if I can get the husband to meet his wife's needs and the wife to meet her husband's needs, it changes relationships. It takes a relationship from no hope and gives it great hope. I want you to answer these questions. And I say, give three examples if possible. I feel unloved, or down the third one, I feel loved when, or let's do, I feel disrespected when. Men sometimes have a hard time articulating, and I know women too, how they feel. So this, for some of you, this may be torture. I would like for you to do this today. I want you to work on it during our break. You may not be able to come up with three, but don't leave this. If tomorrow you think of one, write it down. How you feel disrespected or how you feel unloved. But the other thing you have to give us, not just the negative, I can stop doing the negative, but you got to give me positive too, right? When we have an empty void, stop the negative, we got to fill that with a positive. Does that make sense? And then the other part of the project is fill out the 10 basic. So I know you were supposed to be doing it. If you didn't get that finished, finish that and then rank them of how they're being met and then share those. If Joyce has always done a great job of respecting me, yes, it's my number one, but because she does so good, because it's my number one, I don't really know that it's my strongest need. And so there are things that may be wanting. Does that make sense? So yes, it is my basic need, but sometimes if it's being met, there may be other things. So just because I say respect for me is number four doesn't mean that I want it to drop off the list. Does that make sense? So yes and no to the answer to that. The reason I included this like I did is if your love is being met already, it may not be your number one priority for him to work on. Being met, and you need it met.
I need it.
So if you don't need it, don't rank it high. Does that make sense? It may be, there's maybe some unmet needs, but it's not important. So who cares? If you can, folks, what I've seen is if you can get 1 through 3 met, everything else will start clicking.
Aren't being met that are causing the problem.
So does that make sense? That's why I did put them on the list. They're primary. Every husband and wife needs those. God's commanded those. But if they're being met, other things will come to the top. Any other questions? Thank you for clarifying. Did that help? We good? Let's all stand.